be crazy, but yeah. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order then, and hopefully Kelly will be joining us.
Yeah, and then if you adopt the agenda, I gave you that change, and we can review that again. I know we have one more, so we can do that together. So, Ricky, I will pull this up, and I'll turn it to you. Go ahead.
All right. So, I'd like to call the meeting to order. It is 4:02 p.m., and I'm here. Dale is here, but Kelly is not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to approve and adopt the agenda. Should I exclude that one point now?
Yeah. Ricky, just give me a moment here. Okay, I have it right here. So I'm just going to slide down here. As we look at the agenda, board members, as we go down to, we're almost there. As we go down to item 12.2, we're going to pull this. Legal counsel didn't quite get everything ready for this. The other item is when we look at 12.1, when we look at the this item here, what's going to be different on this, when we look at the total compensation, it's going to be $334,790.36. So for the record, that will be the change.
Okay. All right. So I need a motion to approve the agenda with changes.
Yeah, so Dale, can you read that number again, Kurt, that you're making the change?
Yeah, it's going to be item 12.1,
yep.
The total compensation, 12.2, Dale, we're going to pull.
Yeah, what was the dollar amount that you're...
It was $334,790.36. That's total compensation.
Got it.
And that's not for a month. That's over 2 years.
Over 2 years. Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. okay, so I need to take a vote on this. So, Dale?
Aye.
And Ricky, aye. Motion passes. All right. public comment. Do we have any public comment going into closed session?
Lori, do we have any comment?
No, I don't see any public comments in the chat box.
All right, so we can adjourn to go to closed session, and it is 4:04 p.m.
And then what we'll do, board members, for Dale and Ricky, we'll make sure we'll shut off our video, shut off our sound, and you have the call-in number, and I'll see you in closed session.
Kurt, okay. I'll probably need that call-in number sent to
me. Okay, I'll text that to you, Dale. Thank you. Okay, can I shut off my video? Okay, Lori, we are back.
Okay, great.
Okay, has Kelly joined us?
Kelly has not. I have not heard back from her yet. So, Ricky, if you want to continue, I will keep you posted.
All right. So, We are reconvening the regular meeting, and it is 4:25 p.m. Dale, would you like to lead the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
It would be my pleasure. Please put your right hand over your heart and join with me. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the
United States of America
and
to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty
and justice for all. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay. Public comments, recognition, reports. Do we have anything here, Kurt?
Lori, do we have anything for public comments? Lori, are you on mute?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I do not see anything.
Okay. So we can move on to number nine.
Number nine, correspondence, proposals, and reports. I'm sorry for my phone in the background there. 9.1, implications of AB 77 and SB 98 on school budget. 9.2, DMS Business Services Annual Evaluation Tool. 9.3, CEO SMART Goals and Self-Evaluation 2019 through 2020. And 9.4, Board SMART Goals for 2020 and 2021. The consent?
Yeah, I can take it from here on 9.1.
Perfect.
Thank you. Well, again, everyone, thank you for joining us this afternoon. And as we know, is our roller coaster ride of 2020 is not over yet. The train has not arrived at the station, but as we look at the process of our budget development, our state budget development may revise, and we throw COVID on top of that, but I think we followed everything by the book, that we did everything we could with a proposed budget. Unfortunately, when we look at the trailer bills this year, they did sting a little bit. We know that AB 77 is not something that we're really in favor of, but we know that when we look at that whole harmless, it was really that P2, that attendance benchmark on February 29th, 2020, to really keep the majority of school districts that might be in a challenge, and that's hold harmless, to use that number right there as we go into 2020, 2021. On top of that, on the other end, we've got Senate Bill 98. I can share with you that in my time as a superintendent, I've never seen something so detailed. What is a little bit frustrating is the volume of information that's in there, and literally how school districts, no matter what size, which shape in California or charter organizations, how you can be turning all this around a pivot in a period of about 6 weeks. We've got distance learning. We've got professional development. We've got attendance taking. We've got the number of minutes. We've got special education. We have charter schools. We have food services. There's such an abundance, and again, all due respect to Dana and her team, we've had several conversations. We know that she's going to get it done, but is it really, you know, when we rush so quickly, it's going to be tough, and we've got to have a very fluid process on top of all this. Now we throw in the targeted solutions that the governor has met. He's identified that. He does not want to displace families or students. We hope that when they come back from their recess, they re-engage in that, because a little bit of an increase in our funding at the state level is going to be imperative. We know that our organization is thriving, it's flourishing, and with some financial assistance, it's going to be better. So this is not an action item, it's just a discussion. As soon as we heard about this, Christine, DMS, Shannon, we got in together in a quick huddle, started looking at budgets. No surprise, Christine can do incredible things with very few resources. So we thought we'd just do a brief presentation on this item here. So we're fortunate to have Shannon report to us, and Shannon, if you are ready, I will stop sharing my screen and allow you to present this to the board.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks everyone for having me.
Nice and big, and that wide screen.
Okay. Is this better?
Perfect. Ricky and Dan, is that good for you?
Yes, that's perfect.
Perfect.
All All right, so my intention today is not to go line by line, but please don't hesitate to stop me at any time to ask questions or make comments. So right now we're kind of looking at the consolidated overview of all of the campuses together. Over here is this original budget that was approved, and then this middle line, that's going to be the AB 77 budget. So that's the impact of the AB 77 and the SB 98. And essentially, the biggest impact is that P2 ADA is being held at, or ADA is being held at P2 levels. So even though we had the budget amount 275, the P2 amount is 183.78. And so what that's doing is essentially reducing the LTFS right here, and the overall impact is about $759,000. We do get some relief in the mitigated learning loss. Oh, this is just Sonoma. I was like, sorry. Sorry, this is the overall schools. I'm sorry.
And then, Shannon, just a couple things. I think it's important as we continue this discussion, just for clarity purposes and making sure that we have a clear understanding that what's unique about California Pacific Charter Schools, it's a virtual program. So probably, again, as we talk about campuses, we probably wouldn't want to use that. And then secondly is when we look at mitigating, you might want to go into a little bit more detail for both Dale and Ricky.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, this is the overview here. So in this here is the overall impact of LCFS, and that's the net impact. You'll see, as I go into further detail, some of the campuses actually increased, and then it was Sonoma that does have the most significant decrease. And then here, revenue, this is where we get the mitigated learning loss. Because of the impact of Sonoma, we did a capped enrollment here, which slightly changed enrollment projections at the top here. And then we did do some budget adjustments just for balancing purposes. So, yeah, so the mitigated learning loss is essentially some relief funds from the federal government to kind of help ease with that, the P2 level ADA. And essentially, it's to help the schools that would be impacted by this. So the good news is overall we're still seeing a surplus of revenues, and it is overall projected to increase the ending balance. And that is because, as I was saying, some of the schools are benefiting from this change. So this next summary, this is for the San Diego location. This is one that it is net overall benefiting from these changes, the impact. This is the mitigated learning loss funds here. And then essentially why this is increasing is because they removed the 7.69 cut to LCFS, but we are being stuck at the 254 ADA versus the projected 265. So again, this school, it's the San Diego location. This one is benefiting from these changes. Moving on to the LA location, this one also is benefiting from these changes because the P2 ADA is actually higher than our projected ADA. So you do see this increase in LCFS general purpose entitlement as well as the mitigated learning loss revenue here. And then as we were looking at earlier, this is the Sonoma location. This one was expected to grow, which is why it was hit so significantly. So we do see this large decrease in the general purpose entitlement. And then because we decided to reduce enrollment levels here, other revenues are being affected in here that are affected by not P2 ADA, but your projected ADA. So that's why there's some other decreases here. Mitigated learning loss is included in here, and it's actually higher, but it's being netted against the other revenues that are decreasing because of the decrease in enrollment. And I can show you that breakdown now. So this is kind of the breakdown of the Sonoma revenues. So the mitigated learning loss is $25,000 down here, but it's netted against the other revenues that, because we reduced the projected enrollment, that's why it's only $651 increase. And then again, this is the decrease in LCFS revenue. Total decrease is about $759,000. And then this is the total net decrease in revenue just for Sonoma. And then briefly, these are the San Diego and LA, again, what we were looking at. Overall increase of $148,000 for LA or San Diego. And then LA, overall increase here. So I would just say, like, in general, DMS is continuing to monitor the situation, and we're collaborating on different budget scenarios as needed. I'd also like to mention that we're working on cost mitigation, and now that we've completely redone the budget at least 3 times because of all the changes, we're making plans to make more adjustments in August, and there's still hope that we'll be able to grow, and we're not ready to completely change until we know everything from more angles. We are confident we can adjust costs to ensure solvency once we have final numbers from everyone. So for now, we're kind of just waiting to see what happens at this point. Did anyone have some comments or questions at this time?
Dale, do you have any questions or comments?
No. Great presentation, Shannon. Seems real clear to me.
Perfect.
Thank you, Shannon.
Awesome. Okay, if there's no other questions or comments, I can move on to the next part of the presentation.
Just for a second. You know what's nice about Christine is she's really that utility player. She can cover almost any base at any time, and I know that she's been very an integral part of this process. So, Christine, I'd like you to make a comment or two on what was presented.
Sure. So I just I know Shannon made a couple comments that that our budget is actually in a better place as a result of AB 77 in San Diego and LA. And I just want to make a comment sort of for the public record that our projections were, I always am very, very, very conservative. And based on the interest that we have seen over the summer, I am totally confident that we would have more than exceeded our enrollment projections. So this isn't that Shannon was wrong. I just, for the record, in our board meeting, want to state that AB 77 has negatively impacted us because we absolutely will not be able to serve all of the students who want to come here in across all three of the schools, not just in Sonoma. Sonoma is absolutely being hit the hardest. We have the most number of students on that wait list currently. We haven't hit capacity at our other schools, but we have never hit capacity prior to the first day of school, and I'm actually anticipating that we will hit capacity as early as August 1st this year, which is unprecedented for us. So I just, for the record, want to make sure that in our public recorded comments here that AB 77 is absolutely hurting all three of our schools, and it's not allowing us to provide the opportunity for students who want to come to our school the opportunity to come here. So I just wanted to publicly state that on the record, but everything else that Shannon said is right on.
Thank you, Christine. And I know, Christine, you and Shannon got together, and Christine, immediately you sort of bring that midnight oil on ways you could reduce some of your expenditures. So I think what the board sees in front of them is kind of that finished product, but there was a lot of work behind the scenes to drill this down. And I've worked with Christine enough and know that in any situation she can continue to make anything work. It's Apollo 13. You know, failure's not an option. And Shannon, kudos to you. You're covering so much ground with so many different of our schools. We want to thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Kurt, I do have a question, though, to Christine. I know here in Sonoma County, the Santa Rosa School Board, at least, is starting to recognize that they are going to need to open the schools. And yet, I'm hearing from so many parents that they are not going to send their children to the classrooms because they're afraid that protocols will not be followed. And that's going to put greater pressure on the charter schools, especially with distance learning. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like our hands are going to be tied about taking in any more students. Is that what we're thinking at the moment?
Correct. So the ABA, Shannon, if you can actually change your screen to the Sonoma school. So for the Sonoma school, if you can see, we are only being funded for 183 ABA. Because what I did is as soon as the legislation hit, I wanted to take every student that was already enrolled. I really didn't want to turn anybody away. So I actually think that we're right at 260, I want to say. And I'm not going to turn those students away. We do have it in the budget to serve them. You can see that I'm pretty razor thin on my net revenues at $12,000. I can say there's a few more things that I am prepared to cut if I need to. So that $12,000, I'm very aware of that razor thin, you know, line there. But I still have a few parachutes to deploy if I need them. I'm just holding out hope that we can continue to contact our legislators and that the legislature will make some changes in the SB 98 language that will afford us the opportunity to expand even at least by a percentage, which we've already done so if you look. I mean, we've already expanded essentially by about 20%. So even in Sonoma, if they put any kind of cap on it, 10 or 20% expansion, we probably will not be able to take many more than we are already taking now. But I'll take as many as I can possibly afford because I feel for parents. I'm a parent myself, and I'm in sort of a similar situation. So, you know, unfortunately, though, the legislature has effectively tied our hands. And you're absolutely right. There's really not much more I can do.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's good information to have. Thank you, Shannon, for your presentation. That was really very, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I believe Joanne is going next.
Yeah. Again, Shannon, well done. We appreciate all the work you're doing. We know it's a roller coaster ride, but, you know, the train will come into the station. So you hang on. Keep your seatbelt fastened, too, okay?
Okay.
At this point, I want to present to you our new CEO, Joanne Found of DMS, Delta Managed Solutions. Joanne is going to fill that void for Carl Yoder, who is somewhat officially retired, but we talk a lot about an evaluation protocol or instrument. So our purpose today is to present that information. And Joanne, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you for having me, Kurt, and everyone. Looks like we have a new board here, so let me pull it up here. And can everyone see that screen?
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic. So great. One of our goals when we first started with the collaborative back in June, July was to make sure that we designed an evaluation tool to be transparent with all of you, to make sure that we are reanalyzing our services, making sure they're up to par, being able to collaborate with the collaborative to establish some new goals and just to see how we're doing. So this is designed as a tool to get information from both the collaborative and from our staff members. They will be asked to fill this out separately, and then we will consolidate the information and bring it together, have meetings, and really the goal is to get great conversations going to be able to make sure we're on the same page, that we're understanding what your needs are, they're understanding what our needs are in order to provide the best service to you as much as possible. This evaluation tool is in five main sections, finance, accounts payable, retirement reporting and compliance and reporting, and special projects. And in each section, for instance, this is the finance section, it is broken down by transparency, accuracy controls, completeness, timeliness, and audit process. And you see that we're able to get a score here, and then there's notes. And really, the notes are the main area we want to know, and the scores, because if we scored a 1 and you guys scored a 5, then we need to figure out why we have such a difference. And that conversation will bring that to light. And that's in every section of the 5 sections I mentioned. And the goal is to get this done this month, to have our meetings, and then bring to the boards a summary of what was gathered and an action plan that we will be tackling for the next 60 to 90 days and then reporting out to you again. Any questions?
This is Dale. No questions here.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne. That was very interesting in the process that you go through. So thank you. I appreciate that.
You bet. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Joanne, thanks again for this update. We know that it's going to make us better as a team as we're, again, doing our best to make sure that we're going to be seamless and automated. And also, it's great to work with Cherie and Dana and all of our authorizing districts to make sure that our finances are in order and we've got a real good flow of information. So thank you again.
You bet. You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Ricky, moving on, Dale, to E Smart Goals. Again, just for the benefit of a brief overview, I had a chance to go through my Smart Goals for 2019-2020. I did a self-evaluation. I've had a chance to share that with our California Pacific Charter School Board to get some feedback on that. And really what we want to do is, because Dale and Ricky are new to the organization, we want to start, you know, looking at some things that we can start to do as we go into the next school year. I know that it's important that we really have some good conversation about metrics, about some things that we want to do together. So it really helps me shape my vision and plan in doing that moving forward. And that will be very, very good. SMART goals are something we do throughout our organization. We're very pleased with how it has worked. And then again, as I just literally transition 9.4, is just, again, food for thought, is just have our board members think about maybe one or two SMART goals for this upcoming year. And as we've all shared today, that it's going to be a real challenge as we look at it, but we know that we've been in some tough situations before. I know Dana in particular has gone through anything imaginable that's come her way, and she's still standing strong, looking forward, wanting to serve kids, and that's the kind of camaraderie and teamwork that we need. So those are all things that we just want to put there. Again, no action taken, just a discussion. Earlier today, I got a chance to go through the same process with other boards. Really, really healthy dialogue, and it really helps me kind of set that tone and lead by example as we go into the next school year. Okay, Ricky, I'll turn it back over to you, going on to consent.
All right, Tim, we're moving on to the consent calendar, which is board meeting minutes, business financial services, education student services, personnel services, and so I need a motion to approve.
Dale, so moved.
And Dale, you vote?
Yes, I do.
All right, and Ricky votes aye. So moved. And now we'll move on to business financial services.
Okay. Real quick, Ricky is on multitasking. Are we good?
Yes.
We got a 2-0 vote?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We both voted yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so business financial services. Approval of the resolution accepting membership in the Collaborative Charter School Services Organization. Kurt, do you want to give us any thoughts on this?
Yeah. Did you get it, Dale? Did you go ahead and get a motion on this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not.
Okay.
I got distracted. Come on, me. Getting a little ADD here. We need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Thank you. And I'll second. And we'll take the roll. Dale?
Well, let me go ahead. I'll present this.
And okay. Then present it. I'm sorry.
No worries. No worries at all. It's yeah. Really, board members, what you have before you is we are just beyond pleased at where we are to get this on the agenda as an action item. And again, it's a resolution. As we've looked at our membership into the Collaborative Charter Services Organization, our CSO, and as we look at this resolution, we know it would start on July 1st, 2020 and sunset on June 30th, 2021. But this has been an incredible undertaking, as I've shared before. Any person that would listen to me as I started preaching and teaching about what we want to do, we had a lot of good feedback, a lot of dialogue. It's taken us almost a complete year to get it done, but we know hard work pays off over time. It can't be a sprint, and this resolution is before you for your approval. When we break down the components, first of all, we have the Administrative Support Services Agreement. So when you think of the CSO, think of a SELPA, think of a district office, think of a county office. Technically sound people, our role and responsibility and purpose is to provide those technical experts, fill in those gaps, and again, do it in such a way that we're we're expanding the skill set of our member schools. As we look at the list of services, it wasn't by design, but as we went through this process with everyone, all of our executive directors, I think we're in the range of about 450, which is great. And then again, as we look at the levels of service fee, we feel good about what we've done. That it was internal, it happened organically. Christine and her brilliance was a real key figure in this to move things around. I know Gretchen had a little say in this matter, and they shared it out, and we continue to fine tune it. So it's done in such a way we feel when we look at everything that it's supportable, it's going to work for us. And we also know this is our maiden voyage, but at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we can support that CSO in their very first year. As we look at the fiscal impact with California Pacific Charter Los Angeles out of Axon, it is $161,273.70. We slide over to Warner, it's $155,120.40. And then we look at Sonoma, it's $160,605.90. All right, Ricky, I'll turn it back over to you.
Sorry, I jumped the gun on that one. Okay, so we'll take a roll call vote. Dale?
Aye.
And Ricky votes aye. So the it measure passes. We'll move on to 11.2, approval of purchase of additional laptops. May I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
And I'll second. Kurt, if you'd like to...
Yeah, thank you again, board members. What you have before you is, again, you've got the approval to purchase additional laptops and testing supplies and materials for our students. Christine does a really good job to make sure that she's going to have plenty of these resources for our students, because we know that virtual component is key. When we look at our fiscal impact for California Pacific Charter, LA, it's $11,230. When we look at San Diego, it's $10,112.50. When we look at Sonoma, it's $3,657.50.
Thank you, Kurt. Okay, just out of curiosity, what's for Sonoma's sake, how many more laptops will that purchase?
Christine, do you want me to defer to you or Erica?
Sure. It's 29 total laptops. So I'd have to math that out real quick, but it's probably 5 or 6, something like that. Only 1 in 3 students, new students, typically request a laptop, and we also have current laptops in inventory. You know, students who graduated and returned their computers, we refurbish them and get them sent back out so that we're not constantly buying new computers. The price point on these computers is also fairly low, so we can afford to buy, like, it's a good middle ground. They're not terrible computers, but they're also not super expensive. So I'd have to get you the exact number, but I know that the total, it's way more than 29. I'm sorry, this is 25,000. I think it's something, it's under $300 per computer, so that would be at least 10 to 12 per Sonoma only. This has the potential to buy, again, the cost change. We sent the computer that was sent is something we would be purchasing something similar to. The cost can vary based on exactly what's in inventory by, you know, $25 or $30 up or down. This should get us probably upwards of 12 to 15 computers for Sonoma, and then you can extrapolate that out in Los Angeles and San Diego. Keeping in mind that this is for our online students only, and since over a third of the students in Sonoma are in the independent home study program, and we can use their school funds to provide laptops, but it kind of comes from a different pool of money. So that's why Sonoma is so much less, because they make up a much smaller portion of the online students that have access to these particular laptops.
Okay, because I'm just thinking, I know that so many of the companies, the high-tech companies down in Silicon Valley, partner with school districts to
provide computers for free. I know Google just gave a number of, was it